irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfin' Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Kim, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, well, thank you for joining me today at Catch a Wave with the Surfin' Cowgirl. It's really fun that you began this audio journey with me, and I wanted to talk today about these are a few of my favorite things. You know, we're both Texas girls, but we were born and raised in Oklahoma, but we've made our way to the West Coast, which is the best coast. And I became obsessed and intrigued with the El Camino Royale. And as you know, traveled from one end of Southern California all the way to the north. But first, it dawned on me that today is 9/11. So we want to be in a positive place of prayer and restoration to all of those folks that are still feeling the repercussions of 9/11 even today. So I know you're in agreement with that. And we just want to take a moment to remember our country and the well-being of our country, and join together in unity and the power of prayer for restoration of our country. So, God bless America again. Amen to that?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So, what I love about California and a few of my favorite things are surfing. And it's funny that I'm not a good surfer, and I know that you're not a great surfer, but we love the beach, and we love the sand, and we love the sunset on the beach. And so I think it's just important to enjoy things, even though you haven't possibly mastered that craft. And one of my favorite places to surf is in Topanga Canyon and over at Malibu. And probably my favorite California surfer is Zuma J. And he's got a fabulous little surf shop right there. He's quite a celebrity over there. But I also love to surf in Hawaii. That's actually where I learned to surf about 15 years ago. And make no mistake, I'm not a good surfer. You probably know that. And so, but it's just, like I said, things that you enjoy that you don't have to, you know, actually master the craft. But, you know, one of the famous Hawaiian surfers is Duke. He was a Polynesian surfer, and he was quite a celebrity, and he introduced a lot of celebrities to surfing, and he was actually an Olympic gold medalist back in 1916. And he kind of brought surfing to Southern California, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and got a lot of the producers and celebrities involved in surfing. But I love it, and I'm never going to claim that I'm great at it, kind of like my cooking. On the contrary, you and your guy are professional chefs, and I enjoy all the fabulous meals and menus that we put together at your house. And you know, I'm not a bad cook, but y'all are great cooks, so that's fun.
Oh, well, thank you.
We have award-winning meals at y'all's home up by Sacramento. Another thing that's one of my favorite things to do that we can enjoy both in California and Texas is golfing. And again, I'm not a good golfer, but I love being outdoors, and I love just running around in the golf course on the golf cart and enjoying the ambiance of beautiful golf courses and taking photographs. And I'm a par three girl, so I've got a little bit too much of a rough softball swing, but I can enjoy a par three. But one thing I love in both places is horses. And there in Amarillo, Texas, we have the American Quarter Horse Association, And I'm a quarter horse girl. You're a quarter horse girl. Your grandfather actually was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he had a little horse that I'm so in love with, EasyJet. He was a foundational quarter horse. But over there, right across the Texas line in Sarah, Oklahoma. And what y'all's brand? Is it the Bar Fit 14 or just 14?
Just the 14. After the number of cattle he had in his first herd.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I knew there was significant to 14. But, you know, I love the Jet Smooth and the EasyJet horses. And like I said, EasyJet by Walter Merrick was a foundational quarter horse, and I can't brag and talk enough about how much I love American quarter horses. One of my favorite current quarter horses that I love is Oil Wagon, and he's at the Diamond H Stables over just across the Texas line from Sarah, Oklahoma in Pampa, Texas. And y'all need to go by and take a riding lesson, look at their stables. Logan will saddle you up a horse. He will take you on a tour. You can rope, you can ride, but we're all about our quarter horses in Texas. And I took my love to the polo field the other day, and I had shared with you. Yes, it was so exciting. I went up in Burbank by Disneyland, and at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. And it was so exciting because there was Disneyland. I mean, not Disneyland, Disney Studios. And it was so fabulous and genius for the Disney Studio to be next door to the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. And there were all the star wagons, and they were out there with all the stars making movies. And I am all about an old seasoned horse. So I went out there to take my first polo lesson, and I said, I want an old horse. I want an old seasoned horse. So how old is this horse? Because if he's not 12, I'm not getting on him. And my little trainer was so wonderful. He said, well, he's 15. And I said, perfect. And I want you to know that his name was Striker. He knew exactly what he was doing. I knew nothing about what I was doing, but Striker knew exactly what he was doing. He made me look like a superstar. And as you well know, being in the discipline of Western riding, you're only as good as the horse under you. So I always say, ride a good horse. There are too many good horses out there to not ride a good one. And coming from where you came over at Merrick Ranches, they got lots and lots of good horses. So Striker, again, we get out on the polo field, and I shocked myself that I was kind of good. I could do this. I could approach the ball. I could swing and hit the ball 30 or 40 yards. And so I just encourage everyone to be bold and be brave. And even though I'm pushing 50, and I was not, you know, I wasn't too intimidated to get back in an English saddle. I've probably only ridden an English saddle about 5 times in my life. But my goal that day was to stay on my horse. And so
absolutely.
I was like, okay, be on your horse, not under it. And he was such an old gentleman. And again, he made me look great. So I love quarter horses. I love horses, whether I'm on the West Coast or whether I'm down in Texas. I love, love, love and enjoy horses. And Logan over there at Diamond H Stables in Pampa, he's got a lot of good horses. And so I get to enjoy them when I go back. I'm actually, for the first time in my life, 28 years without traveling with my horse. So I have to rent a horse. And my little coach at my polo lesson was from Brazil, and he was just fabulous. And he put me on a fabulous horse. So it was a really, really good experience. But talking about staying on top and just, you know, not getting bucked off, that was my goal today on my first segment of Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, was just try to try to not fall, try to not stumble too bad. But
you're doing great.
Okay. Well, I'm so happy that you have come along for the ride. I want to real quick make a shout out to my girl Tyra Jesko at Scripty. Tyra keeps my life together and puts my life together, and you can find her on Instagram. She is a wonderful freelance artist. She will collaborate with you on a painting or a painting lesson. So follow Tyra Jesko on Instagram and book your next project with an award-winning artist at tyra@thinkjesko.com. So Kim, can you think about some things and share some things that you love about Texas and California? And what comes to my mind is red, red wine. I know you like yourself some red wine, and we've been to Napa together a few times, so lots of fabulous wine. What's some of your favorite wineries?
Well, hands down, my favorite winery in Napa is Del Dotto.
Yes, absolutely.
And they are an award-winning winery and vineyard. They have three different locations up there. They started out with their cave in Napa.
Yes.
And the Del Dotto Wine Cave is absolutely spectacular. Their wine tour there, you must make a reservation ahead of time, but it is worth every ounce of wine you get.
Yes.
I've never had a bad pour there.
Correct.
Secondly, I love Artesa.
Yes.
And it was also featured in a movie that was on Netflix recently. And absolutely spectacular vineyard. Their view there is just breathtaking, and their wine is just as good as their view.
Yeah, I
so those are my top two that I
yes like. And so I did go to Artesa without you, but I did go to Del Dotto with you, and they're fabulous.
Yes.
And we can only experience about three a day. We learned three wineries, and you're good to go. But a little winery that I loved was Chimney Rock, and so that was, did I say that correctly? Was it Chimney Rock? Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
I think so. So that was a good find. So you know, they've got a lot of good wines down in the Texas Hill Country, but California is, of course, known for their fabulous wine, and they've got over 3,000 wineries, and I think I've been to five. So I've got a lot of visiting to do. But I want to also real quick mention I appreciate our wonderful originally composed background music by Pastor Lori DeBose Helton over in Panhandle, Texas, and she helps and works with Alberta Helton Ministries there at Triumphant Truth Church in Amarillo, Texas. Also at Radon Community Church in Radon, Oklahoma. And there at the McLean Hub on I-40 at McLean, Texas. And so they are always eager to help. And she sent me some just wonderful, quiet, zen background music today that was original composition. So thank you, Lori. Appreciate you. Tell me, Kim, what is it that you, on this special day, love about America? Putting you
well,
on the spot.
Jenny, as you know, I lived in New York when 9/11 happened.
Yes.
And I was on the phone with my mother watching the Today Show when the first plane flew into the tower.
Ugh.
And it was, it rocks your world.
Yes.
But one thing that came to mind most, living in New York, in Poughkeepsie, just north of the city, Poughkeepsie is pretty much a bedroom community for New York. So many New Yorkers live up in Poughkeepsie to get out of the city. And there's a train that takes you down into Grand Central Station. It's a little over an hour ride. And so naturally, so many of the people in our community were greatly affected. But what I noticed most about what happened after 9/11, which I like to think about more than, you know, the actual event.
Yes.
Is how resilient and how the community came together to help one another.
Amen.
And
wow,
you could just, there was just a feeling in the air there, and everyone became much more tolerant. They showed people grace.
Absolutely.
They were much more accepting of people and their flaws.
Yes.
And there was less judgment and more understanding.
Because
and
under,
that's what I noticed.
Yeah. Because under adversity, you know, we can always agree in a place of gratitude and grace and love and kindness and camaraderie and humility and extension. So absolutely, I can feel that as you're speaking, an overcomingness and a willingness to seek restoration. So go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I'm totally in agreement. I can see the Americans pulling together to lift one another up and work towards restoration.
Absolutely. And everyone just had so much more tolerance for things, you know.
Yes,
so
kindness.
We just get wrapped up in our own lives, and
yes,
you know, someone in front of us is slowing us down, so there's the beep beep at the light for them to go. And there was none of that.
Yes.
After it happened, it was just like, okay, that's not important.
Right.
And everyone's priorities shifted immediately after 9/11.
Yes.
And, you know, of course it was somber living there during that time, but there was also an amazing amount of energy that boosted your morale when
yes.
you saw what was going on around you.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's what I remember most about today, having lived there. And what I appreciate most about America is that when the chips are down, we get behind one another.
Amen.
And
pull together.
Everybody. Yeah, we just lift each other up. And I saw that over and over and over. Living there at that time.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what I think of more than the attack and the consequence of war afterwards.
Absolutely.
Or conflict, whatever you
Absolutely.
Want to call it. I think of how we pulled together.
The
more
passion, the camaraderie, yes, and the willingness to unite one nation under God. Absolutely. Because after the setback is always the comeback. And so, you know, I always think today I was driving in and last night it dawned on me that today was 9/11, and you want to put the most important thing first. And the most important thing is that we are one nation under God, under the grace of God. And we are in a constant humility and humble hustle. And just because we get set back doesn't mean that we're going to not dream big, doesn't mean we're not going to seek restoration, doesn't mean we're not going to be afraid to fail, doesn't mean we're not going to be passionate, because we understand as American that when you get up, show up, shut up, and God will be there. Just keep getting back up when you get knocked down. Just keep getting back up. And you know, Kim, hard work beats talent when talent won't work hard. So it is a due diligence to just keep getting up and keep coming. You can't keep a good man down when he keeps getting up and he keeps coming. So, you know, I always think about, I'm willing to do today what others are not, so tomorrow I can do what others cannot. And as Americans, we've got to find and gather and secure our grandfather's work ethic and just our values, our core values as Americans, to be united. Be united. One nation under God. And the best way to be united is, like I said, in a place of grace and gratitude, patience, kindness, love, and humility, all for the common goal of extension, rising up and overcoming when adversity strikes. And I witnessed this during the Woolsey fires as well. We were actually coming out, and we got to nearly L.A., and we could see the smoke rising up over the mountains. And we thought, okay, well, where this is happening, this is really happening. This is so tragic and traumatic. So we just went south and stayed for a while. But after the fires had come through and there was much devastation, it was just heartbreaking. It was like you're saying, we would walk into a store in Malibu and people knew we were from Texas. They kind of knew us from earlier visits, and we were finding ourselves hugging strangers, and they were like, oh, thank you for coming and checking on us. And we didn't know each other's names. You know, we came from different places, Texas, to Texans coming to California. And we would literally walk around the counter and people were hugging us. And just, it was awesome to think that we had that camaraderie and that love and support as the survivors of the fires were pulling themselves together and joining forces to help one another. So we just have so much to be thankful for. And when you are down and when things are on top of you and pressing you down, a lot of time it is that power and that energy in agreement in prayer with a made up mind that will carry you through. So I think about that a lot. Just as Americans, as Texans or Californians, we share a place of grace and love in the fruits of the Spirit that are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. So what else, Kim? What else do you bring from Texas to California? I know your dad lived in Southern California for many, many years. And what else do you feel like you share as a love in even Oklahoma, those places? Would it be all of our good cooking?
Well, secondly, what I love the most about where I live in Northern California is Lake Tahoe.
Yes.
And our family visits Lake Tahoe a lot.
Yes.
My daughter and son and husband all love to snowboard and ski.
Yes.
And, you know, we took a little trip up there over the Christmas break. And it's like riding a bike, you know, just get back on that board and go.
Yes.
My family loves Lake Tahoe. I love Lake Tahoe in the summer. It's such a beautiful, beautiful place to visit. The climate is just spectacular. And, I mean, Tahoe Blue. I mean, it's just one of the most beautiful lakes in the world, and it goes up against the great, and
yes,
it is a spectacular place to be.
I love it.
So that's my second love.
Okay.
California. I love the wine, love Lake Tahoe, and love the beach.
And the one thing that we noticed, I know I shared this with you, when we were coming out here years ago, I was like, the fresh vegetables and fruit that go from farm to table. So farm to fork. So talk a little bit about your and Trent's passion for cooking and where that came from. Of course, your mother was such a fabulous chef, and she had such a wonderful steakhouse. Again, over there at the Merrick Ranch, it was the stables. And I can remember I was probably about 10 years old, but usually every Saturday night we would go to the stables, and even the butter was good. I mean, homemade butter, homemade bread. And of course it was fashioned after an equestrian horse barn in a culture of Western Texas horsemanship and cowboy heritage, which is something I love, love, love about Texas. Don't get me started on what I love about Texas. Let me tell you what I love about Texas. I love Fort Worth. I love Amarillo, Texas. I love Austin, Texas, the live music scene. But California and Texas just really are quite interchangeable. My two youngest children recently in May graduated from Baylor and TCU. They're in Fort Worth and Waco. And our enrollment there at those Big 12 schools is actually over 30% Californians. And so in Texas and California, we love our horses and we love our food. But go ahead and tell me about y'all's love for cooking and where that came from. And was it from your mother, Kim, at her stable steakhouse? Or?
Yeah. You know, of course, that was just part of my upbringing.
Yes.
And my mom took over the stable steakhouse when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And so since I was 7 or 8, I've had a job. And that was washing dishes and busting tables and helping all the waitresses and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just kind of something, you know, that's in your blood. And so I married my husband at a really young age, but God blessed us with almost 30 years of marriage. And
that's awesome.
And he is an amazing chef.
Yes, he is.
And he just had his grandmother taught him how to cook at a really young age. He's not classically trained or anything like
he
that.
He doesn't have to be.
It's just in him.
It is.
He learned at a very young age. So we were approached by some people back in our hometown where you and I grew up.
Yes.
About buying a very, very popular restaurant.
Yes.
Back home.
Yes.
And so Trent and I were kind of burnt out on our corporate job, and we said, you know what, let's go for it. So we moved back to my hometown of Cheyenne, Oklahoma, and took over a restaurant, and Trent ran the back of the house and I ran the front of the house, and we had a very successful run.
Yes.
And we really enjoyed it. And then it was time to move on.
Yes.
So we sold that restaurant and moved out here Sacramento, and just because we love to entertain and cook, we have friends over a lot and do dinner parties, and all of our friends are begging for us to open another restaurant.
I know
here.
I am, but I understand it's I think it would be difficult to show up every day and be on. You know, some days I cook, some days I cook good, sometimes not so well. I stomp my toe on the salt you know, again, that's one of the things I love. And what was crazy is that how Trent can even plate beautifully, and he can dice and slice. I mean, it's just in him. And so a lot of times it's not about being classically trained or professionally trained. It's just a gift that God gave you. And he is so gifted. And I'm thinking of that funny instance when you and I were eyeballing him over the sea bass. And he was like in the kitchen, up on a ladder, changing the light bulb, dusting the light fixture. And I was like, oh, is he tending to the sea bass? And you were like, get down off the ladder and tend to the sea bass. And of course, he hit the window and quit it and plated us up this beautiful meal. And we honestly have been to some of the best and most award-winning restaurants in the country. But I would put Trent's meals up against any of them. I don't know if he's lucky, but probably, once again, luck is where preparation and opportunity meet. He has turned out and cranked out. And I went to a barbecue recently, a couple months ago, and it was just craziness, the fabulous food that was prepared and put out on that table. So we're looking forward to many, many more fabulous meals. But let's talk a little bit about your passion, which I know you love dogs and you love animals. And that's another thing that we share. And it doesn't matter if you're in Wisconsin or Wyoming or Texas or California, we have a heart for God's creatures. And we love our horses,
absolutely.
We love our dogs, we love our cats. We, you know, there's a rescue that we have listed down in Bowie. Gillespie Land Group has a horse rescue listed, this beautiful property outside of Bowie, Texas. And
they've got all these little baby donkeys and rescue horses on there, and the ambiance of that land is just beautiful. And I was like, oh, Kim, I wish you would go and run that rescue, you know, take advantage of the opportunity of that beautiful place and ranch. But I know when you and I had last talked that you were looking for some property to begin an animal rescue. And so let's talk a little bit about that. But you're in the Loomis, California area, and I would love to join forces with like-minded people for us to put together a fabulous animal rescue. And not to be, you know, not to be crazy, but we had talked about making it very upscale with a winery up front. And if we could get Trent in there to cook for us, I just think we would hit a home run. So talk a little bit about your passion for animal rescue and what your vision is in this project, because, you know, I'm all about energy and synergy and the power of the positive word. You know that about me. And sometimes it's mistaken for delusion or hyper faith, or but really it's just kind of a humble hustle. And I will be fearless and courageous and go boldly before the Lord, confidently asking with supplication and thanksgiving for what I want, because you have not, because you ask not. And when you seek, you will find. And when you knock, the door will be open. And there, I got my soapbox out and did a little preaching. You knew I was going to do it before the day was over. But, you know, a made up mind, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to put together an animal rescue. And I'm going to find some like-minded people, and we're going to join with positive energy and like-mindedness. We're going to agree. And there again, where two or more are gathered in agreement, ask anything in my name, it shall be done. And I just think about the power that God has put in each of us, and the power of prayer. And, you know, something that I put in my billfold, this little adage when I was very young, I think I was about 14 or 15 years old, but I printed this off. And actually our friend Trudy, you know, our common friend Trudy, she, our pal Trudy, she had given me this. It said, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon must inevitably come to pass. And so in other words, claim it. Claim what is yours. When God gives you a dream, go big. Go big. Shoot for the moon, and you'll always land among the stars. Be fearless, you know, but go ahead and claim it. And something that I like to do is remind myself, get a hold of that feeling that you've already got it. Get a hold of that feeling that you've already won. Get a hold of that feeling that the commanded blessing is already yours. It's in the bank, money in the bank. And now you just have to walk it out with a little bit of strategy and help from a friend. So I'll be quiet now and let you talk about your passion and your vision. What is your vision for your animal rescue there in your area?
Well, I've always dreamed of having a rescue. I've rescued more dogs than I and cats than I can honestly name. And just recently, I had rescued a little miniature blue heeler, and she just was one of those, you know, one in a million. You know, they just don't come along very often. And it ignited that fire in me again.
Yes.
About rescue.
And you think, and she had been in the fires, don't you? You think she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think that.
They think that she was part of the Santa Rosa fires.
Okay.
And she was on the street, was very feral.
Yes.
And wouldn't have anything to do with people at all. And so it was definitely a process to get her on board with being touched, even
socialized.
So,
getting her socialized,
yeah, completely feral, and we had to re-socialize her. So it reignited that passion of rescuing dogs. And so this has always been something that I really wanted to do.
Yes.
I want to have a competent rescue.
Yes.
That people come into that know these dogs are going to be great pets.
Yes.
And I don't want to just get, you know, some piece of land and throw some
cages up.
Little dog.
No.
Dog runs up and say, hey, here's my rescue.
Right.
I want to do it in a way that we're taking in and resocializing and working with dogs that really need that extra care.
Absolutely.
So that's my dream. That's my passion. Would love to integrate it with a vineyard.
Yes.
And so when people come to the vineyard, they will be able to see our rescue and see the work that we're doing. And we can combine two of our passions, which are wine and dogs.
And
so I just feel like,
you know,
it would be a great,
yeah,
great combination.
I love it. I love it. And let me throw in there that, like, I am super, super in love with charcuterie boards, cheese boards. I love, 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 love cheese. And so it would be so fun to put our gifting together. Trent is such an amazing chef. And you've got some amazing friends up there. They actually have Mandarin Orange Orchard. So we're just like reaching out. We're just like speaking that out into the universe. But actually, you know, there's such power in the word. Life and death lie in your tongue. So when you start speaking it, say, hey, let's do this. I don't know where the land's going to come from. I don't know where the funds are going to come from. But when we start envisioning and walking towards our passion and walking towards our dream, then the manifestation begins. And I always think to myself, don't despise humble beginnings. Walk it out one day at a time. Ordered steps, ordered steps. And, you know, as far as our foundational belief system among Americans, all roads lead to Rome. You know, so we can join in again in extension and progress. We can strategize for success in progress. And speaking of progress, you know, I'm kind of a progressive thinker, and I would even love, you know, not only to have the pet rescue with the vineyard or wine tastings and charcuterie boards and cheese trays, but I would love to somehow incorporate, and I know someone out there is much more equipped to pull this together and strategize for success, but I love it that they have programs where little kids come and read to cats. I love that. And I love it.
It is just beautiful.
Precious. And I love it that, you know, possibly we could have some elderly ambulatory people that could come and enjoy caring for, loving, socializing, and interacting with the pets at the rescue. I would also love if people needed daycare for their children. It could be a place that people's children had a safe place and an environment to interact with the pets and have responsibilities to care for the pets. And who doesn't feel good being around children? And
right.
Who doesn't feel good when children are enjoying caring for animals? There's nothing more grounding. And who doesn't enjoy or need an adult elderly mentor? And I just feel, you know, it takes a village. It takes a village. And I just feel like we've got to speak that out there and put out some feelers and stretch out some branches for someone to come forth and, you know, get in touch with us in the Loomis area. You know, you just never know. And so I'm not shy. I'm not shy at all. I will knock, knock, knock on the door and see if I can't find the answer. And sometimes I'll dig to, and they'll give me what I want just to make me go away, which is kind of obnoxious, I know, but, you know, squeaky wheel gets the oil. But I would love to pull this together
And if anyone in the Loomis, California area, the Sacramento area, if you've got your grandfather's 20 acres and you really didn't know, you inherited it and you're paying taxes on it, or you really didn't know what to do with it, and God puts a vision or a notion, if he drops that in your spirit, yes, I would like to do something positive, and I would like to do something progressive, and I would like to do something productive with this land, please feel free to contact us, and we're going to try to just pull that together for someday we will be walking that out. And so, you know, me, again, I'm kind of always operating in hyper faith, but it's a good thing. I'm walking by faith, and I'm declaring and decreeing a thing even before it's in existence. And, you know, some people call that delusional, but I call it a gift. I'm going to rear back and go for it. I'm going to aspire, because, you know, in my mind, to whom much is given, much is required. And I feel like God's gift to me is me. I feel like he's given me almost 12 years of overtime. 12 years ago, I had 0 to 4% chance to live. And I'm a walking miracle just by the grace of God, by the healing power of God. And so I'm all about making it count, making every day count. And so, like I said, I feel like God's gift to me is me, and what I make of myself is my gift to God. And to whom much is given, much is required. And I've always felt so fortunate and favored, and probably that's delusional, because there's been times that I've had nothing and I've came from nothing, but no one ever knew it, because I felt so blessed and so equipped. Just as a child of the Most High God, you know, I was separated and sanctified just by the grace and the love of God. And, you know, what they say, the secret to having it all is believing that you already do. And so just today, having this day and the joy of this day and the opportunity of this day, you know, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so today is a gift, and I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to be at LA Talk Radio and live out one of the little, you know, one of the little tasks on my bucket list. I was in a situation where I fell into a coma, and that was almost 12 years ago. And I came out of that. I walked away from death miraculously. And thank God I had people around me that knew how to pray. And I made a list of 25 things. And I wanted to accomplish those 25 things before my 50th birthday. And I'll be 50 around Thanksgiving.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. And what was so funny and intriguing is that within 4 years, I had 21 of those tasks completed. And I mean, they were big mountains to move. I wanted to write music. I wanted to make a CD. And I had to really gather my tool set and work through that. And now I've made and produced 5 musical CDs and composed. And that was a dream. I never dreamed I could do that. And now I've made 5 CDs. And so I'm down to 4 things on the list. And one of them...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One of them was to
have... Are you willing to share what those are?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So one of them was to complete a book project that was a glimpse of who I was the first 50 years of my life. So I will have my book project completed by November 1st, November 15th by the latest. I wanted to have a radio talk show, which you've started with me today. And I knew we might stumble around. We didn't get our intro music in. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. But we will polish and refine. The most important thing is that we started and we stayed on our horse.
Take that first step.
And I just want to encourage anyone, when God puts something in your heart, when God puts something in your mind and it is productive and progressive and inspirational and helpful to others, then you know it's God. If you are experiencing lifting your brother up, if you are experiencing ascension in that dream, in that task that God has dropped in your spirit, then you know it's God. And I'm just encouraging anyone within the sound of my voice to be fearless. You don't have to have the A to Z worked out. All you've got to have worked out is the ABC. And so before we go, I want to thank everyone at Gillespie Land Group. They have supported me. They are a full spectrum real estate brokerage. They do farm, ranch, recreational, commercial real estate, and they build, they develop, and they sell. And they are licensed in California, soon to be licensed in California. We already have a team put together in California, but they are currently licensed in Oklahoma and Texas. But we've done a lot of exciting projects, commercial. And like I said, there's that horse rescue in Bowie, and that land is just beautiful. We actually need that for what we're doing here. But I just want to encourage anyone, don't hide behind an excuse. Oh, I don't have the money. Oh, I don't have the knowledge. Oh, I don't. It's just that it's not so. It's like taking that first step. And today I get to mark off one of the last four things on my 25 things. And at my 50th birthday, I'm going to make a list of 100 things. I'm going to sit down. And one of those things on my next list is to have some sort of an animal rescue and a progressive place where it is everyone joining together to help and lift up. Like I said, you know, young people always need mentors, and we have a lot of pets that need homes. We have a lot of children that need homes. We have just a lot of things that we can focus on in a place of love and strategy for success. So that's exciting, and I appreciate so much. You've been wonderful today. I want to encourage everyone to just dream big and never be afraid to fail, and don't wait around for people to encourage you. It's like that little story of the crabs in the bucket, the frogs in the bucket. When you're aspiring to progress and go higher, there could be, unfortunately, always someone that will give you a load of excuses. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, well, no one's ever done that. Oh, well, that's virtually impossible. And here I made this list of 25 things, and many, many, many of those things seemed impossible. And literally in the words impossible, the letters, it says, I'm possible. I'm possible in the word impossible. And I always like to think about the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is a little extra, is the word extra. Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to put forth the extra effort? Are you willing to get up earlier and work harder? And there's just things that amaze me that I've learned in the last just 2 or 3 years of my life that I was lazy about things, and I just want to get real with myself. When things weren't going my way and when I was frustrated with things, it was because I was lazy. It was because I wasn't willing to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock and put the extra time in, and I was making excuses, and literally, like, there was some pity involved, or just excuses and, you know, pity involved, like, I'm not really healthy, or I don't really have the financial resources for that. And again, I know this is kind of abrasive, but I just started self-loving myself and self-talking myself to say, get up, dress up, show up, and shut up. Shut up the whining and the excuses, and God will be there. Get up, dress up, show up, shut up, and God will be there. Walk it out. Step it out. Walk it out by faith. Claim it. And, you know, I learned a word the last couple of years, and it's summon. And summon means to command forth, not in a woo-woo-woo weird way, but you're just, again, if the power of life and death lie in your tongue, then you need to speak your dream, speak your vision, speak your goals. And I read this somewhere, writing down your goals makes them become 90% more likely to manifest. 90% more likely to manifest when you write down your goals. And so, like I said, I wrote down these 25 things, and in 4 years, I had 21 of those completed. And I've got,
wow,
I've got my book to finish. The radio talk show started today. So excited about that. I feel like we will get better and better. We will polish and refine as we go. I'm excited to see what occurs, what manifests in the way of your dog rescue. And are you open to doing other animals than dogs? Because I know at my friend's down in LaGrange, Texas, somebody dropped some baby donkeys off, and they're like, yeah, we'll take it, we'll take it. Or you at least find appropriate accommodations for those animals when they do that. Are you wanting to do primarily dogs, or are you open to do horses and cats or whatever, whatever God allows in your resources?
Exactly, exactly. We're going to be open to other animals as well. But I did want to touch on something that you just mentioned when you were talking about goals.
Yes.
And the late, great T. Boone Pickens.
Oh, yes. He's from Amarillo High. He passed away today?
He did.
Okay, now you know that he's in Amarillo, Sandy. Amarillo, Texas, Amarillo High. T. Boone is blow, Sam, blow. That breaks my heart. And, okay, go ahead. Oh, that's taken me back.
I just wanted to pass along one of his Boonisms.
Okay.
I was reading an article, and what you said just
resonated.
Reminded me of one of the things that I read in the article about him, and it's what they call a Boonism.
Okay.
And a Boonism from him was, a plan without action is a plan, is not a plan, it's a speech. Let me repeat that. A plan without action is not a plan, it's a speech. And it really goes back to what you were saying about goals and writing them down and then becoming 90% more likely to happen. And that just really resonated with what I had just read about T. Boone Pickens. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Absolutely.
But to answer your question, yes, we will be looking at taking in other animals as well. But again, our primary
focus,
goal
is,
and mission and focus behind the rescue
is for dogs. Yes.
Dogs and cats.
Okay. I need to...
Because it will integrate mostly with the vineyard that we're wanting to do.
Okay, awesome. I need to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Scott at Luxury Consignment on Oaklawn in Dallas, Texas. This is a fabulous little hidden secret there on Oaklawn. And Scott, he equips us with the most fabulous designer clothing straight off the runway in his upscale resale store. So go buy Luxury Consignment in Oaklawn and ask for Scott, and tell him the Surfing Cowboy, Surfing Cowgirl sent you over. Love you, Scott, and thank you so much for all the fabulous clothing articles, designer clothing articles that you put together and dress us in. You make us look fabulous, Scott, and we love you and love your precious little store there on Oaklawn, Luxury Consignments, Dallas, Texas, where the celebrities shop and consign. Thank you, Kim. I have had a wonderful time. Thank you for bringing to my awareness that T. Boone Pickens passed away today. And again, he is an Amarillo High graduate. And that's where two of my younger kids graduated from. So we our prayers go out to T. Boone and his family. He's over there near Pampa, Texas. And he did many, many, many great philanthropic works throughout Texas, throughout the Texas Panhandle. And we are just, we have our heart heartfelt prayers out to T-Boone today. Kim, thank you.
He was an amazing gift.
An amazing gift. And he made it count. He made it count. So prayers to T-Boone and his family. Kim, I hope you join me next Wednesday at the same time. You've been an amazing co-host. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Many, many blessings to you and your family.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. It was a joy.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surf and Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.